The objection finally came when OSBI agent Rusty Featherstone testified. Peterson, in a clumsy attempt to prove that Ron and Dennis were carousing in Norman 4 months before the murder, put Featherstone on the stand. Featherstone had given Dennis 2 polygraph exams in 1983, but for many excellent reasons, the results were inadmissible. During the interviews, Dennis had recounted a night in Norman that involved bars and drinking. When Peterson attempted to elicit this story from Featherstone, Greg Saunders objected loudly. Judge Jones sustained it on the grounds of being irrelevant. During the skirmish, Peterson, at a bench conference, said, "He, Featherstone, places both Ron Williamson and Dennis Fritz as associating with each other in August of 1982. "Tell me the relevance of that statement," Judge Jones demanded. Peterson could not, and Featherstone quickly left the courtroom. It was another appearance by another witness who knew nothing about the murder of Debbie Carter. The next witness was just as unproductive, though his testimony was somewhat interesting. William Martin was the principal of the junior high in Noble, where Dennis taught in 1982. He testified that on the morning of December 8th, a Wednesday, Dennis called in sick, and a substitute teacher taught his classes. According to the attendance records Martin brought to court, Dennis missed a total of 7 days during the 9-month school year. After 12 witnesses, the state had not laid a glove on Dennis Fritz. The prosecution had proven beyond any doubt whatsoever that he drank alcohol, ran with unsavory people, Ron Williamson, shared an apartment with his mother and daughter in the same neighborhood as Debbie Carter's apartment, and missed school the day after the murder. Peterson's style was methodical. He believed it was necessary to slowly build a case, block by block, witness by witness, nothing fancy or slick. Gradually pile on the evidence and remove all doubt from the minds of the jurors. But Fritz was quite a challenge because there was no hard evidence. Snitches were needed. The first one to testify was James Harjo, brought in, like Gore, from prison. Dull and dim-witted, Harjo had not only burglarized the same house twice, but used the identical means of entry, same bedroom, same window. When he was caught, he was interrogated by the police. Using a pen and sheet of paper, articles foreign to Harjo, the cops had walked the boy through his story with diagrams and solved the crime. Evidently, this had impressed Harjo greatly. When he was in jail with Dennis, he, at the urging of the police, decided to crack the Carter murder by doodling on a sheet of paper. He explained this shrewd strategy to the jury. In the crowded bullpen of the jail, he had quizzed Dennis about the murder. At some point, when his X's and O's reached their climax, he said to Dennis, "Well, it looks like you're guilty." Dennis, overcome by the weight of Harjo's deft logic, withered under the burden and tearfully said, "We didn't mean to hurt her." When Harjo first spun this yarn during the preliminary hearing, Dennis erupted and yelled, "You are lying! You are lying!" But with a jury watching closely, he had to suffer through it again without showing any emotion. While it was difficult, he was encouraged to see several of the jurors suppressing a chuckle at Harjo's silly story. On cross-examination, Greg Saunders established that Dennis and Harjo were housed in one of the jail's 2 bullpens, small, open areas accessible to 4 cells with 2 bunks each. Each bullpen was designed for 8 men, but was often more crowded than that. Even in the bullpen, the men were practically breathing on each other. Surprisingly, in the Pontotoc County Jail, no one else heard Dennis's dramatic confession. Harjo testified that he enjoyed telling lies to Ron about Dennis, and vice versa. Greg Saunders asked him, "Why were you lying on Dennis and Ron Williamson? Why were you going back and forth and telling them lies about each other?" "Just to watch and see what they say. They'll cut each other's throats if you watch them." "And you were lying to Ron about Dennis, or lying to Dennis about Ron, is that right? Kind of to get them at each other's throats?" "Yeah, just see what they'd say." Harjo later admitted he did not understand the meaning of the word perjury.